The Little Silver House by Jenny Lindquist. Chapter 1. The year Nancy was staying with Grandma and Grandpa Benson, the children had an unexpected vacation in the fall. There was a fire in the town school, and it had to be closed 2 weeks for repairs. The vacation turned out to be an unusual one. For a long time afterward, Nancy and the Carlson girls spoke of it as the topsy-turvy weeks. When Grandpa came home to supper on Saturday, the day after the fire, he did not even wait to feed his horse, Carl the 12th, before he came into the house. Instead, he hurried into the kitchen with a telegram in his hand. Grandma turned pale. She thought a telegram meant bad news, but Grandpa called out, "Good news! George and Hannah are coming!" "George and Hannah!" said Grandma, so surprised that she sat right down in her rocking chair. She and Grandpa usually spoke English when Nancy was with them, but now, in their excitement, they began to talk Swedish. "My goodness," Grandma said at last. "Here we sit talking, and Nancy doesn't know what it's all about. You must forgive us, darling. This is the best news we've had for a long time. Come, I'll tell you about it while we put supper on the table and Grandpa feeds Carl the 12th. Nancy had often heard about Aunt Hannah and Uncle George. Hannah and Grandma had been playmates in Sweden, and as young girls, they had come to America together. George and Grandpa had been great friends since they were boys. After they were married, they had lived next door to each other while their children were growing up. Now Uncle George and Aunt Hannah lived far away in Chicago, but they were still Grandma's and Grandpa's best friends. "It is more than 10 years since we've seen them," said Grandma. 10 years, said Nancy. "That's more years than I have lived." "Yes," said Grandma. "Sigrid was a tiny baby when they were here last. You remember I told you last week that they had come east because their son was sick. When I saw the telegram, I was afraid he was worse, but he's much better, so they can come to see us too before they go back home." "When will they come?" asked Nancy. "Tomorrow afternoon at 5 and stay until Wednesday. I can't believe it yet. We must have the Carlsons here for supper tomorrow night, and Uncle Sven and Aunt Martha too. They'll all be so happy." "Can we decorate the house for the company?" asked Nancy. "Of course," said Grandma. "Aunt Hannah loves flowers. You and the other girls can decorate tomorrow afternoon." "We can get wild purple asters and goldenrod," said Nancy. "Yes," said Grandma, "and there are a few flowers left in the garden." Nancy could see that the telegram had made Grandma and Grandpa very happy indeed. They spent all evening making plans and getting ready for their visitors. "It feels like Christmas," Nancy said early Sunday afternoon when Uncle John and Aunt Anna Carlson and Sigrid, Elsa, and Helga came. When Uncle Sven and Aunt Martha drove into the yard, the children ran out to meet them and to give their horse, Whoa Emma, some sugar. "Nancy says it feels like Christmas," said Elsa, "and it does." "I once read a story," said Aunt Martha, "in which there was a woman everybody loved. The story said that when she came into a room, it was as if candles had been lighted. That always made me think of Aunt Hannah. And it's like Uncle George, too. It is like Christmas when they come." They all went into the kitchen. "Grandma says we can pick some goldenrod and asters to decorate the house," said Nancy. "I'll come with you," said Grandpa. "Then we can get some autumn leaves, too. This is Storfromond we're having today." "What's that?" asked Nancy. "I know," said Elsa. "Storfromond means very, very important company." "Like kings and queens," said Sigrid. "That's the idea," said Grandpa. "Yes, that's right," said Grandma, smiling at the children. "True friends like Aunt Hannah and Uncle George are as important as kings and queens, so you must make the house look especially pretty." "Grandma," said Nancy, "if they're as important as kings and queens, could we make flower crowns for them?" "That would be nice," said Grandma. "I've never seen a child who loves flowers as much as you do, Nancy," said Aunt Anna. "You remind me of your mother. Your father used to say she could pick up a wilted flower in the street and take it home and make a lovely plant of it. And you are going to be just like her." Nancy smiled. She loved to be told that she was like her mother. "But I never knew about flower crowns until I came here and Grandma showed me," she said, "and I love to make them. "So do I," said Aunt Martha, "and I'll help you when you get back. There isn't much time." "No, the afternoon's going fast," said Grandpa. "Come along, girls."
"I'll go too," said Uncle Sven, "unless I'm needed here."
"One man is all we need," said Aunt Anna, "and John will help us." So the flower-gathering party set out. Not far from Grandpa's house there was a little wood, and near it a field where goldenrod and wild purple asters were in blossom.
"Purple and gold are the right colors for kings and queens," said Sigrid, and the children began to pick the flowers while Grandpa and Uncle Sven went to gather branches. When they came back with their lovely colored leaves, each little girl had her arms full of the purple and golden flowers.
"It's getting very hot and sultry for late September," said Uncle Sven. "It feels as if there might be a thunder shower."
"Oh, dear," said Helga. "What if it rains on the Storfremond?"
"It does feel like a thunder shower," said Grandpa. "But rain won't hurt anybody, not even Storfremond, Helga, so we won't worry." They were all glad, though, to get back to the cool house where Grandma had milk ready for the children and coffee for the grown-ups so they could rest a little before they began to decorate. Aunt Martha had been up in the attic and found some thin wire which she had formed into the shape of crowns. They did not usually use wire when they made crowns, just leaves and flowers. "But we have so little time today," she said, "that I thought it would be better if we had wire frames to start on." She had been out in the garden and had brought in some of Grandma's large purple asters and tiny golden marigolds. "The marigolds are better for crowns than goldenrod," she said. They decided to make Uncle George's crown from red and gold autumn leaves with one big purple aster at the front.
"That is an amethyst," said Sigrid.
"The royal amethyst," said Elsa, "that no one but the king is ever allowed to wear." They made Aunt Hannah's crown of green leaves, marigolds, and small wild asters.
"Emeralds and amethysts and flowers made of gold," said Elsa.
Meanwhile, the grown-ups were filling crocks and jars with goldenrod and asters and putting autumn branches over windows and doors.
"Like Christmas green," said Nancy, "only different colors. It's beautiful."
"It will make Aunt Hannah so happy," said Grandma. "She will remember how we used to decorate our homes when we were children in Sweden. We didn't have many pretty things in those days, but we did have leaves and flowers."
"I'd rather have them than real amethysts and emeralds," she said, smiling at the children. When it was time for Grandpa and Carl the 12th to go to the station, the children went upstairs to put on their Sunday best white dresses. Nancy's and Elsa's had blue sashes. Sigrid's and Helga's sashes were pink. Now everything was ready. The children ran downstairs to admire the house and the royal crowns once more.
"I hope they'll talk about the olden time tonight," said Elsa. "I love to hear about how it was then."
"They will," said Sigrid. "Grown-ups always do when they haven't seen each other for a long time."
"It's getting hotter and hotter," said Aunt Martha. "There's thunder in the air, all right."
"We need rain," said Uncle Sven. "But now that it has waited so long, I hope it holds off until the travelers get here."
"There goes Oscar," said Nancy, and they all hurried to the door. Oscar could always hear Carl the 12th coming before anyone else did. In a minute he was back, running along beside the wagon and barking a welcome. Carl the 12th threw up beside the door, and then what excitement, what talking and laughing and hugging and kissing! When Aunt Hannah and Uncle George stepped into the house and saw the autumn leaves and flowers, their cries of surprise and pleasure delighted the children. Aunt Hannah even had tears in her eyes. She was so happy.
"Oh, Albertina," she said to Grandma, "how it takes me back to the time when we were children."
"I knew it would," said Grandma. "I told the girls so, and they have a surprise for you that will take you back even more. But you will want to go to your room now, and we'll have supper on the table when you come down again."
"They're going to talk about the olden times," sang Helga after the company had gone upstairs. "They're going to talk about the olden time."
"And that will suit you fine, won't it, young lady?" said Uncle John, picking her up and swinging her onto his shoulder.
"Uncle John," said Nancy, "hold her like that and let her crown the king and queen."
"Because she's the youngest," said Sigrid.
"I'll get the crown," said Elsa. The visitors soon came downstairs.
Aunt Hannah put on a dress of soft lavender silk. Helga carefully set the flower crown on her head.
"You look beautiful," said Elsa.
"Lavender is exactly the right color to go with the crown of purple and gold," said Sigrid.
"Don't I look beautiful too?" asked Uncle George, making such a low bow after Helga had crowned him that his crown fell over one ear.
"No," said Helga, "you look funny. But," she added quickly, "you look as if you must be awfully nice." That made everybody laugh, but then they were all so happy around the big dining room table that night that practically everything made them laugh. Nobody even noticed that the weather was growing more and more sultry until suddenly there was a loud noise of thunder. The wind began to blow and the rain came down in torrents. Everybody hurried to shut the windows upstairs and down.
"It's good to have the rain at last," said Uncle Sven when they were all back at the table again.
They were still all sitting there, talking and laughing, when the clock struck 8.
"One more thing I must ask before we get up," said Uncle George. "Is the boarded-up house still standing?"
"A boarded-up house?" said Elsa, forgetting that children must not interrupt grown-ups. The minute she had spoken, she grew pink with embarrassment, but Uncle George turned to answer her.
"Yes," he said. "It belonged to a family that owned a great deal of property in town. Crane, their name was. They moved away, but before they went, they sold all their property except this one little house in the country. I suppose they expected to use it as a summer cottage to come back to, but that must have been 30 years ago."
"Boarded up for 30 years, Sigrid said. "I wonder why."
"Children," said Aunt Anna, "where are your manners? Uncle George asked a question, and you don't give anyone a chance to answer it."
But neither she nor any of the other grown-ups could help smiling at the girl's eagerness.
"As far as I know, it's still standing," said Uncle Sven, "but I haven't been out that way for a long time."
"We haven't either," said Grandpa, "though it's not very far, and that pine woods near the house is a good place to picnic in."
"We had so many happy times there long ago," said Grandma, "but it never seemed the same after you and Hannah left, George. I guess that's why we got out of the habit of going there. I remember you always liked that little house."
"Yes, I did," said Uncle George. "And not only the house, but the way it stands there in the valley, with the woods behind it and the hills back of that. It's a funny thing. None of us was ever in that house, yet often out in Chicago I think of it, and what a good place it would be to settle down in."
"I wonder what happened to the Crane family," said Aunt Hannah. "Do any of them ever come back here?"
"I don't know," said Aunt Martha, "but I did drive by the house once last year, and it was still boarded up then. The Cranes must have made some arrangements to have it cared for, because the roof is well mended and none of the boards is loose.
I don't know why we don't drive out that road more often. It's a lovely road, although it's pretty well overgrown with grass now."
"I'd like to see that little place again," said Uncle George.
"I'll take some time off tomorrow," said Grandpa, "and we'll drive out that way."
"Why not go tonight?" said Uncle George.
"Tonight?" said Grandma.
"In all this rain?" asked Aunt Hannah.
"It stopped raining a few minutes ago," said Uncle George. "Look out of the window. The moon is shining."
And so it was. They had been so busy talking and laughing, they had not even noticed that the rain had stopped.
"Why don't you men go?" asked Aunt Hannah. "We ladies will stay at home and do the dishes and visit."
"Nonsense," said Uncle George. "Four men can't go on a moonlight ride alone. We'll take these four beautiful young ladies who are all dressed up in their best dresses. What do you say, Eric? Carl the 12th can carry them and one man to drive, can't he? We can take turns riding and walking. It's not more than 3 miles, I'm sure."
"But it's already after 8, said Aunt Anna, "and it will be close to 10 before you get back."
"Oh, Mama, please let us go," said Elsa. "Please? We never went on a moonlight ride."
Aunt Anna began to laugh.
"George, you haven't changed a bit," she said. "Who but you would ever take such a notion? Get your coats, girls, but don't get out of the wagon. You haven't got your rubbers here, and the grass will be wet."
"Grandpa," said Nancy, "could Alex come too? All the Crimson Ramblers ought to go." "Well, I don't know what his mother will think," said Grandpa doubtfully, but, like Nancy, he hated to see Alex left out of anything. "If you'll harness Carl the 12th, John," he added, "I'll go speak to Mrs. Brown." "Who are the Crimson Ramblers?" asked Uncle George. "Oh, it's a club we've got," said Sigrid. "All of us belong, and Alex does, and Grandpa and Carl the 12th and Oscar." "And Grandpa and Carl the 12th usually take us for a ride on Sunday," said Nancy, "and so I thought Alex ought to come too." "And who is Alex?" asked Uncle George. "He's a boy that lives across the street," said Nancy. "He can't walk," said Helga. "He can only go around in his wheelchair." "But he's the most fun of any boy I know," said Elsa. "Well, that sounds to me like a pretty good club," said Uncle George. Grandpa came back in a few minutes, carrying a happy Alex in his arms. Carl the 12th was ready. Nancy, Helga, and Elsa got into the back seat. Sigrid, Alex, and Grandpa sat in front. The other three men took the first turn at walking, and Oscar trotted along beside them. "Grandpa," Elsa asked, "why didn't you ever tell us about the boarded-up house?" "I never realized that you'd be so much interested," said Grandpa, "and now I'm afraid you'll be disappointed. I think you're picturing it as something mysterious and exciting, and it's just a plain little house." "But it's what's inside that matters," said Alex. "There might be treasure buried in the cellar." "There might be treasure under your kitchen sink," Uncle Sven teased him, "or hidden under the roof in Danny's doghouse at the farm, but I don't think there is. Still, I agree that any house in which people have lived is interesting." "Somebody must have loved it, or they wouldn't want to keep it all these years," said Elsa. "I think you're right, Elsa," said Uncle George, "although I know that some people refuse to sell a house just because they're stubborn and don't want anybody else to get it. Wait until you see it, children, and then you can tell us what you think of it. Meanwhile, isn't it lovely in the moonlight? Could we sing, John, do you think, or would we disturb people?" "Not so early as this if we sing softly," said Uncle John, who could never resist any opportunity to sing. So very softly the four men sang some of the lovely old Swedish songs the Carlson girls had heard ever since they were babies, songs that Nancy, too, had grown to love since she had come to stay with the Bensons. "It's getting dark," said Helga. "Is it going to rain again?" "Oh, no," said Uncle John. "It's just the moon going behind the clouds. It will come out again." And that's how it was the rest of the way. Sometimes the moon shone brightly, sometimes it hid its face. "It's more interesting than plain moonlight," said Elsa. After a time, Grandpa got out to walk, and Uncle Sven took his turn at driving. At last they came to the road of the little house. It was very dark now, for the moon seemed to have gone behind the clouds for good. Grandpa unfastened the lantern from the back of the wagon and walked in front of Carl the 12th, leading him over the uneven road. "I'm almost scared," said Helga, shivering. "Me too," said Nancy, happily. "We're nearly there," said Grandpa. "I'm afraid we're not going to see much." But at that moment, the moon came out and shone in all its brightness on the little house. There it stood with its weather-beaten gray boards, still wet from the rain, glistening in the moonlight. "Why, it's silver," said Helga. "It is," said Elsa. "A little silver house." "You never told us," said Nancy, "that it was a little silver house." The grown-up smiled. There was no doubt about it, although by morning the little house would be plain gray again. Tonight it was made of silver. They stood silently, looking at it. "I think the moon is trying to show it to us," said Sigrid. "The house is so bright, and the woods back of it, and the hills are so dark. How many rooms does it have, do you think?" "Oh, probably 5, said Uncle George. "A sitting room and a dining room and a kitchen downstairs and 2 small bedrooms up under the roof." "It's the most beautiful house I ever saw in all my life," said Nancy. Uncle George began to sing again, and the other three men joined him. Neither Nancy nor Alex knew the song, but Nancy thought the lovely melody seemed to fit the little house. Later, Grandpa told her what the words meant. "Something like this," he said. "I know a house, a little house among the mountains, a little house I call my own.
It matters not how far away I travel. That little house is in my heart forever. It waits there in its green and pleasant valley, the little house I love to call my own. The song ended, but the moon went on shining, and it was hard to leave when Grandpa turned Carl the 12th around and they started for home. It was too late now to sing along the roadway, and none of the children talked much. Helga fell asleep, sitting between Nancy and Elsa. "Let's go back soon," Elsa whispered. "Yes," said Nancy. But that was all. Tonight it was enough just to have seen the little house, all silver in the moonlight.